the Foxhole.
Down the Foxhole.
We're here today. Drinking rosé.
Drinking rosé in the morning time. It's before noon.
So. You guys, this is going to be the most interesting podcast we've had yet, and I know that for a fact.
It's because of the rosé.
Well.
This isn't the first time with our rosé, but it's the first time with you. Yeah.
So today we have Carlene Thomas, who is a... awesome nutritionist, dietitian. We'll let her tell you her actual credentials because I know that I'm going to say them wrong. From Healthfully Ever After. And we are so excited to talk to her about her business. And then also obviously get into some nutrition, good stuff, and some fun questions that Erin and I are kind of probably going to overwhelm her with.
Yep. A lot of foxholes coming your way. So, yeah, Carlene, tell us all about you, what your business is, how you got there. Tell us your story.
Okay, so the intro, I guess, is I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, which is different than a nutritionist. Registered dietitian means you had to take, like, a shit ton of organic chemistry, dissect cadavers.
So you're the smart one.
Yes, this is why I didn't become a dietitian.
Yeah, I'm not the smart. I'm the idiot who decided to go this path. So... I'm a dietitian nutritionist. My main business, my husband and I run basically a content creation business for food and beverage brands. So we do recipe development, food photography, videography, those little top-down hands and pan style videos that you see like on Facebook. So we do those for food and beverage brands. And then the other part of it has become I do spokesperson work and kind of like media spots explaining some of the crazy shit you see in the news.
But awesome.
Day-to-day, it's basically eating and making a lot of food and taking pretty pictures of it.
So, like, how did you parlay, like, this your very serious job or, like, degree into, like, this super fun, like, hybrid of, like, the two things that you love? You're, like, to me, are kind of living, like, the dream life of, like, science and creativity.
No, this is a good point. I never thought this was, number one, a job. My husband didn't think this was his job either because this has become what he does now.
What did he do before this?
So his background is industrial design, studio art, things like that. And he thought he was going to do, and he did after graduating college, go work for an architecture firm and do project management and stuff like that. But it happened that I had been doing basically a bajillion jobs as a dietitian when I graduated and got my credential after school and my internship. It was like 2012. It wasn't the recession, but there were still lingering effects, especially in terms of what I wanted to do as a dietitian, which was not work in a hospital.
Right.
Most dietitians work in a hospital. They go see sick people, which is great, which is fine. Not for me because I see blood and I pass out. As I found out multiple times.
Oh, no.
So what's the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian?
So dietitian is a regulated term. It means you had to go to a specifically accredited university, which meant you had to go take certain classes. You had to be matched to an internship.
Okay.
It's a 50% match rate. If you graduate, you have to be placed kind of like med school. You rank against each other.
Interesting.
You do that, then you have to go pass an exam.
Okay.
And nutritionist can be literally anyone, depending on the state you're in. Like my dog could be a nutritionist or, you know, Pepper could be a nutritionist.
Pepper, are you a nutritionist? Okay. Didn't know that. Good to know. Now I know who I will hire.
I only know that because I was attempting to go down that path, and then chemistry was just like, I was...
That's where they weed you out, man. I mean, they just seriously just try and cut the masses by throwing stuff at you.
Couldn't do it.
By the way, I don't use any of that stuff in my day-to-day life, so...
FYI.
Unless you're doing that,
But you know what? Like, it makes your... It gives you, like, some sort of, like, street cred, right, for, like, the job that you're doing now.
So I did have those moments where I was like, I could be doing what I'm doing now more or less not as a dietitian.
Gotcha.
But I didn't know this is where I was going to go. I thought my goal was to do private practice and see one-on-one clients, and I did for a little.
Okay.
That was the path I wanted to go, maybe do some media work on the side, some PR-based work for food and beverage brands, like, as a spokesperson. But I found out pretty quickly, like, maybe after a year or two, working with clients was incredibly draining for me.
Gotcha.
Like, that is a lot of emotional energy you invest. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to other dietitians who work, like, with eating disorder patients, that intensity is tenfold.
Right. Wow. Like, there's a specific person cut out to do that.
You have to be very understanding and emotional and be able to cut it off and not have their problems become your problems. But that was hard. It was exhausting. And so I realized what made me happy and what I was really good at was doing the creative side of that, the photography. But... It only became, I mean, like, when I started getting involved in the online world in, like, college, right. only because that's where my tribe of people was, and nobody at my school, none of my professors understood what I wanted to do. They're like, there's no way you should go out on your own. Like, you're going to go work in a hospital for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can go do your own thing. And I was like, fuck that. Like, I turned to Twitter in beta mode, basically, and I found this group of people that was doing. But the only reason we fell down this foxhole of doing the photography is because a random wedding website, which was the niche that I was working with in private practice, people who were getting married and wanted to be healthier and lose weight.
Wish I knew that, like a year ago.
So this wedding website was like, will you create healthy cocktail recipes for us and photograph them and we'll put them up? And I was like, sure, why not? Like, they were just paying me a small amount of money, which turned into our first contract, which was Chandon. Like, the champagne company was like, who is the photographer? And we were like, oh my god, they don't know. So that was how we just kept getting requests to do photography work.
So it was all like referral.
Yeah.
So when did you know, like, we're on to something? We've got like this niche that like pretty much no one else is doing the way that you're doing it.
Maybe 2 years after that point.
Okay.
Like, I would say that was like 2012, maybe 2014. I was like, oh, this is the thing. And then it became video work because we were experimenting with video and we kept getting requests for that. And we're like, oh, this is the thing now.
Yeah.
So it's constantly evolving. Who knows what's
cool.
I don't know what the fuck we're going to do next year.
Like, right.
Who
knows? You're not going to be bored. I can tell that right now.
I know. That's so cool. The food video stuff is so cool. I love watching that.
They're fascinating.
I got like really.
They must take so much time though.
The behind the scenes, it's annoying because you look at it and you're like, oh my god, it's like a 30-second video on how to do this amazing. Meanwhile, it takes an entire day and you have 6 chickens in the background at various stages. You can finish filming in a day and it's chaos, but that's what people want. I mean, with the recipe videos, it's like the faster the better now.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you guys have a YouTube channel?
We do. We don't post client stuff up there.
Got it. So, it's just your own stuff.
And we want to revive it because we are mid-renovation. Mm-hmm. We kind of held off on doing a lot of the video work, but I love doing video.
Yeah.
And I want to do more. My career advice has been from other people, you need to do more on-camera work.
Gotcha.
Which I'm like, ugh, because it's so much easier to be behind. And if you don't, you know. So we'll see. Our goal is to revive the YouTube channel and do more cooking.
I mean, your content's like just beautiful. It's the type of stuff that makes it think like, it's probably the reason I don't cook. I'm like, my shit doesn't look like that. And then, like, you remember, it's like the shoot and the production and, like, all the things. I'm like, Chris, just eat it. It's fine. But, I mean, it's just stunning. And you guys, just FYI, Carlene's company is called Healthfully Ever After. So just check it out, like, while you're listening to this podcast because you're going to, like, fall really deep down, like, a beautiful Instagram and website.
Are you primarily the cook or is your husband?
I cook day to day and most of the stuff. However, Chris is insanely creative. He is the master at flavor pairings, and so he'll come with an idea, and then we take that idea and I monetize it by finding a client essentially, or looking at the client projects that we have on tap and fitting it to that, toning it back because I'm like, I mean, so this morning for breakfast, he made Renee Renzeppi's, who's the Noma, you know, the Noma people in Copenhagen, top restaurant in the world. His wife came out with a cookbook. Her big thing is soy cured eggs. So soy sauce, mirin, you take the yolk and you cure it. And you're like, that's weird as hell.
Yeah.
But it sets it up. It turns into this gorgeous like jammy yolk. So this morning he took
just for Tuesday
rice and leftover larb, which is this Asian ground meat dish, and put the yolk on top. And that's what we did for breakfast.
Oh my god, that sounds
same.
So
you guys,
this is my breakfast.
I mean, that's like a dream. Like you kind of like live in like a 5-star restaurant all the time.
Yeah, I say that, but there are days after long shoots when we're like, you're getting a fucking piece of toast. You're gonna live your life in Lovin'. Yeah. Like that's just
sacrifice.
It's you go through phases of like being really invested in food and loving all of it, and then there's sometimes where you're like, I could just not cook right now and be really happy. Like let's go get kava.
Yeah,
that's the level.
That was so good. Oh my god, love it. Okay, now that we know who she is and we've got so many questions for you, we definitely got like the most questions we've ever gotten when we put a call out. And before you got here, Casey, we were sort of talking about like Carlene was saying that she doesn't even like tell people if she gets in like an Uber or anything that she's a dietitian because people are like, this one time I grew this tree of whatever. What do you think? And it's like unsolicited advice,
so
like everywhere
funny.
You go. So we're just going to like completely take advantage of that right now. but yeah, I can imagine that, like, I mean, the wealth of knowledge that you have is something that, like, people are dying for. for quick fixes and quick shortcuts and like the way to always improve themselves kind of. And I feel like your wealth of knowledge, like the true sense of it, is just like a whole different ballpark. So it's got to get really annoying when people ask you things all the time.
I think it's hard because people are so set in their ways. It's not really, I love cutting through the bullshit. Like efficient information that is like researched, evidence-based. That's like the big thing as a dietitian. They're like everything evidence-based, scientific studies. Gotcha. You have to vet them. Not every study is good. I like that stuff because I like helping people get the long and short of it in a second. Like I love that. But in the nutrition world, there are fucking crazy people. And I mean, even beyond the fact of like, you can point to a study and be like, scientifically, you are wrong in what you are saying. You know, because it's like everyone is a nutritionist these days, or everyone can have a weight loss blog. And they're like, I did this one thing and it fixed everything for me. And you're like, actually, that is probably not great advice to give people, you know, on the internet. And they're like, no, like, fuck you. You can do, I mean, people become incredibly defensive.
Oh, I bet.
Whether it's fact driven or not. And I think that's kind of scary. Mm. And for me, one of the reasons why I think there was a phase where I retreated a little bit from like sharing my opinion, because I was, you can get so much hate.
Oh, yeah.
So much hate in the health world. People are very set in their ways, especially if it's something new or something, really divisive. I think like the weirder the better. And when you come up, when you explain from a scientific point of view, maybe why that's not true or just give facts and evidence, people don't like that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the weirder the better. Yeah. That's what gets traction.
Yeah. I'm writing down all of the questions I'm thinking of for you right now so I don't interrupt you. I'm working on that, you guys. How do I?
What was the thing you asked her? Will I die if...
Let me tell you what I ate last week. Will I die? When will I die?
No,
will
I mean, die? I'm pretty much convinced at all times I'm, like, gonna die of, like, sodium poisoning. Because, like, I don't, again, I don't like sugar, but, like, salt to, like, is my favorite.
Chug soy sauce.
To like, have, who says like, I don't do that, though, at nighttime?
You encase yourself in a salt tube. Just love cover it. Cover your body in iodine.
But won't that preserve my skin? Like, that's a question for you, because salt is good for you. No, salt's just my jam. Sugar I'm afraid of. I feel like I kind of fall into those, like, you know, some of the, like, myths versus facts type stuff, but I think we all do. So let's backtrack a little bit. Let's do our words to live by.
Yeah.
And our favorite things, and then we'll sort of launch into... Want to kick us off, Casey?
Sure. So I have mine are like words to live by for the month of April. So they're just two words, pause and play, which like when I was thinking about it, I didn't even think about the actual like pause and play like buttons. But pausing to like give myself a break. I went to get a massage yesterday. And just to like literally hit pause.
Where'd you go?
I went to Bliss because I had a gift card. Oh. And to be super honest, the massage was great, but the music they played like completely killed the vibe.
What was it, like elevator music?
It was like people who are trying to be pop singers, but like no one.
Like covers?
Not even covers. I didn't know any of the songs. They were so like squeaky and distracting, and I was just like.
Dude, we talked about this during spin class, too. Like, you go to a spin class, music and the DJ homie, whoever is doing the things, is, like, on point with their songs. You're like, yeah, I could do this forever. The second I get a song that I'm like, I hate this, I'm like, I'm done. Might as well get off the bike. I'm mentally over it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So for a massage, that's awesome.
Because, like, normally it's just, like, you know, it's kind of, like, just, like, transic, no words.
It's like yoga music.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, like, for me, is fine. But, like, it was super distracting and, like, totally killed the vibe. So.
Bummer. So that was
anyway, I tried.
Back to your optimism.
But again, and I feel like this is like a reoccurring theme for me to just like hit pause and not feel guilty about it. So there's that. And then the play part, I didn't really have like a ton of shoots in March. I had shoots lined up for LA and then there was threat of mudslides, so they all got canceled. And so I'm setting up like a bunch of like, you know, creative and like playful shoots just for me in April. So,
fun.
Yeah.
I dig it.
That's kind of nice not to do stuff for clients. Like if you want to
experiment. Yeah.
That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah. That's, I mean, and especially in your space, I have like the time to do that and like kind of create your own showcase.
It's also like what I found with March, I think, is that like, it was like, I had like literal like pent up creative energy that didn't get to like,
get out. And so, like, I just, like, it's, like, something that I now recognize that I really, like, need to have those shoots lined up to, like, get that energy, like, out, if that even makes sense.
No, it does. I totally get that, because we're the same. If you're just doing client-stipulated recipes... Yeah. All we want to do is make some weird shit.
Yeah.
And if you don't let it happen, then you do. It's like, I'm not gonna sexually frustrated.
It's like food sexually. It's pent up
yeah. energy that like doesn't. It like bottles up and it doesn't like get to. So it's just in there, like, stirring around.
like sex. Sorry. I mean, you're not the first person to compare food and sex, right?
So yeah.
What are your words to live by?
So I had this saved in my inbox before I knew I was going to do this. And so this is a quote by Amanda Shapiro, who's the editor of Healthy-ish, which is the Bon Appetit sub-brand that came out last year. Cool. And she wrote this newsletter and she's talking about, she was watching this wellness like influencer's Instagram story. And the girl was like, she held up this random bottle and she's like, oh, but like everybody uses this, and she didn't bother to explain what it was, the brand, what it did. Uh-huh. And so Amanda wrote in this newsletter, she was like, there's no everybody in wellness. We're all just a bunch of people trying to live our healthiest lives. And it's cool to be curious, but don't let Instagram peer pressure you into buying a tiny trampoline, unless that sounds like fun to you, in which you should definitely do it. And I was like, that's so good, because wellness is definitely a spectrum, but there are times, especially because of social media, you see stuff and you're like, I'm not rolling my avocado like a flower. Like, why am I living my best life? But it should be a very like you do you.
Yeah.
So I just loved the
You way know, we love that over here. That's awesome. Super, I mean, especially like in the content space, like it is a hard thing to not like keep up with the Joneses, for lack of a better word, or blow past them, or like just always feel that pressure. And I mean, there's so much content out there about food, and there's so much content out there about content, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
that
right.
It's like hard not to do that, but I think she's like right on. So we'll link to that so people can check out her stuff. Mine's from Amy Poehler.
I love
it's just the kind of week I'm having. Mine are, nobody looks stupid when they're having fun. It's just true. Yes. Like, it's kind of in the same vein as like when you're trying new things, it's hard not to feel judged or like, you know, think that everybody's looking at you. But like the truth of the matter is nobody really cares that much about you except for yourself. Like, it's
so
just
true.
The truth. So I'm just trying to remember that sometimes as I like try new things or I'm about to like rebrand my business and stuff. And it's like, you just got to like stay super true to yourself. And like, as long as you're having fun and like loving what you're doing, then fuck it. It's fine.
Don't you find that pays off? Like, secretly?
Yes.
I feel like there are times you have... So you do you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, nothing's working out. But then eventually somebody will come to you, be it a client or a company or a brand, and they're like, we love that. And you're like, shit, somebody did notice.
Right. Like,
and
you'll find your people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's just a little Amy Poehler for you. I just freaking love her. Keeping it real.
Leslie Knope forever.
Are your earrings from Roxbox?
They're not. They're actually from Target today.
I like
well,
them.
Well, so this is like random fact, but so my husband and I do this every single time we travel. We'll go to like a brewery or a winery and we're all like happily buzzed. And we're like, yeah, we'll take a bottle of this and a bottle of that. We'll drink it later in the hotel. Never. Literally, it never happens. And this trip specifically, I said to my husband, I don't think we should do this because we never actually drink the bottles of wine.
Because you like go out somewhere else.
Yeah, because we always do carry on. We never check bags. Mm. So... And I said it to him again, and he was still like, no, let's just do it. And I was like, okay. So we have two bottles of wine that we didn't drink.
Did you have to ship it?
No, so we checked a bag. But my husband, like, he locked my checked bag, and I, like, or he locked my suitcase that had, like, the stuff in it. But literally, so, like, I had to, like, dig around for, like, random makeup this morning. Couldn't find any of
like,
my
jewelry.
Like,
you don't have the key to your suitcase?
I literally have never locked it before, so I looked at it and I was like, I have no freaking clue to do this, and I'm already running late.
How long have you been home?
Since Sunday. We got home Sunday night at like 10 because we drove back
from Jersey.
Just
like,
it's gonna become a time capsule. In 10 years, you'll open it.
It has all my makeup.
He's a genius.
It has, like, all of my makeup, my jewelry, like, the earrings I wanted to wear were in there. And I was just like, I don't have time for this. Like, I'm already late. I gotta go.
So good. So good.
So, no, so they're good. Not from Roxbox. They're from Target.
So my favorite things are suitcase locks.
Yeah.
What are your favorite things?
I just have two today. One of them is, so on the way to LA, I, like, did a playlist of a ton of podcast episodes, and my favorite by far was the interview with RuPaul and Oprah on her Superstar Sundays. Yes. It is unbelievable. If you haven't listened to that episode and you already listened to it, it's amazing.
It's so good.
And I listened to the Gwyneth Paltrow one, which was also incredible, but I do think the RuPaul and Oprah one was better.
Well, duh, because anytime you put Gwyneth Paltrow on something, it's
like But also, like, I just would, like, RuPaul, I think that, like, he would be, like, the actual RuPaul, like, not him in drag. He just sounds like the chillest person to hang out with. Ever.
Let's try to get him on the pod.
I know, it'd be amazing. He's so cool. But I loved that. And then while we were in Santa Barbara, we went to a winery and they had 100% Grenache Rosé, and that was delicious.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Which I now know to look for Grenache Rosés.
Yeah, once you find, like, your thing that you're, like, this is
it's just, like, it was just, like, really, like stone minerally tasting, yeah. Like, really, like, smooth, but then it, like, had, like, a little bit of, like, fruit. It was so, like, refreshing and nice.
You're so
good. I drank a lot of it. This was literally me at the winery, because, like, my husband was, he had to be on phone calls literally, like, all day Friday, and I'm just, like, alone with this whole bottle of wine.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So how much does wine and, like, drink pairing play into your life?
You know, not as much as it could. I feel like, so I have this...
White space!
I have this dietitian friend who has, like, turned me on to orange wines and natural wine, and it's a whole other world. And we went to Copenhagen for work last summer, and there she was like, you go anywhere, you have to go to this place called Vedstrand & 10, and it's, like, this tiny thing, and they have all these amazing wines. We tried our first orange wine, came back to the States. It's nowhere. It's like everywhere in New York, there's like two places in DC that have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is the deal with orange wine?
So it is not the same as natural wine, but most orange wines are made in Georgia, the country, not Georgia, the state. Okay. They're just really interesting. And on the blog, I did this orange wine 101 thing because I was like, I don't understand this. So if I don't understand it, I have to research it.
Right.
So it's just like this interesting. It's not going to be like the new rosé. Like, I think I wrote that in the blog at the time. It's way too interesting and weird and not easy to drink. It challenges you.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But cocktail-wise, damn, I love a good cocktail.
Do you?
You go anywhere for cocktails, you have to come out to Loudoun County and go to Sense of Thai.
It'll be a date.
Thai restaurant.
Really?
Ask for Ross behind the bar and do dealer's choice.
What is it?
You say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, and then he totally ignores you and proves you wrong, essentially. Oh my God, he won't say that, but that's
so cool.
So if you're like, I hate celery, he's like, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
And he'll make you the most amazing, well-balanced, salinity, sweet, acidic. It will blow your mind.
I wonder if they'll do a tasting
one. Oh my gosh, that would be so fun.
Do it.
Fun.
Go.
Well, you're invited.
Go to Sense of Time.
Meet you there. That's so fun. Okay, sorry. Were you done with your... I had to just ask you
about
wine.
Yes, those are my two favorite things right now.
Moving right along. How about you?
Okay, so I've got... I have weirdly fallen into this hole on Netflix of The Great British Baking Show.
What? Oh my God, my mother-in-law loves that show.
So internally, I'm like 86, so that falls into...
The Great British.
My mother-in-law is also... She's Australian English and like lives in Ireland, but like they love that show,
it
my
is
in-laws.
Darling. So it's, quote, reality TV competition on like BBC PBS, but they're like, the worst it can get is like, your loaf has a soggy bottom, and they're like, oh dear.
Yeah.
And that's as bad as it gets.
I'm watching
and you're like, this is thrilling.
It's so relaxing. So I like that show because I'm 80.
That's amazing.
I'm also
80 on the inside, so
I'm the oldest young person ever. I have also never had a personal Facebook page, which qualifies
Dude,
me for
respect.
Being 80.
What?
I know. It stumps people. So I also really like...
Do you feel very free?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it's like. So I have had... People always had drama. Well, like in high school and in college, people had crazy drama over Facebook shit.
Oh, you have Facebook in high school?
Yeah. So it was my senior year. They had rolled out Facebook. And because everyone had their college email addresses then, you could get on Facebook. And I remember my freshman roommates were being like, we thought you were hella weird because we could not find you on Facebook. Like, I was a serial killer.
Like a murderer.
So, yes, I feel free in that. I've never had to delete it because that's
true. But you do it for your business.
I do it for business, but I hate it.
Hey, every second of it. That's awesome.
So I guess other things, I really like Biena snacks, which are B-I-E-N-A. They're chickpeas and they're roasted. High in fiber and protein, but they're actually legitimately delicious. So they have barbecue flavor, ranch flavor, dark chocolate.
Ranch everything.
They're a delight.
That was one of my questions because I'm like, I don't snack until right before dinner, and then I could literally like.
And then I ruin my dinner.
I could literally eat snacks for dinner. So like I always need, like I need like a healthy option because right now it's like popcorn or like cheese and crackers.
I really these will make you super full. God, I love cheese and crackers. They will make you super full. But I like these for travel. So like if you're stuck at a shit airport and you're like, sketchy, not Chipotle, or
even if it were Chipotle.
Yeah, it's like an off-brand Chipotle.
Everything's so gross in an airport. You know, I don't know. It's just like not okay.
No. I was recently, we drove to New Jersey and we left our dogs with my parents before we went to LA. And the Newark airport, I haven't been there in like a year or two, and it's amazing.
It's a good one.
Newark is a great
airport. LaGuardia is a shithole.
LaGuardia super sucks, but there's really cheap flights out of there.
Super sucks.
It super sucks. It's so terrible. Newark is like, Newark used to suck. Because that's, like, primarily where I used to fly out of. And now I was like, oh, man, they have, like, this whole food court where it's, like, self-checkout. So you just, like, go and grab your stuff. And, like, it's so easy and fast.
That's a good one. Yeah. I feel like I got spoiled with Dulles. Like, having Dulles, like, 20 minutes from my house, I'm like, God, this is a nice airport.
Yeah, because it's the cheap airport. Yeah. You have to, like, trek out there.
Oh, yeah. So living in the burbs.
Yeah, I got like the good one. Lucky. Lucky burbs.
I love that. I'm going to try those for my pre-dinner snack.
Anything else on your list this week?
The other thing, so I came in wearing a scarf. Actually, a lady commented, I got out of my car, she was like, I like your scarf.
I mean, your scarf is literally, like, amazing.
So it's this silk printed scarf of foxes eating garbage.
Like, so on brand. How did she know we were garbage eating foxes?
Garbage foxes. And I say that lovingly. I think it's called Midnight Feast, but I call them garbage foxes.
I love it.
But it's this woman from the UK, and her name is Karen Mabon, or Karen Mabon, I don't know. But she does amazing work that's super, like, interesting and funny, but you would never know it unless you fully, like, whipped out the scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I love it.
I just saw, like, a hint of a foxtail, and I was like, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the entire thing, and I'm hooked. You said that she's got a thing with Anthropology now?
Yeah, so at Christmas she announced, I think they came to the U.S. Anthropologies, but she has a deal with, like, she did one with Heathrow Airport, she did one with Elemis, which is a skin brand that just came to the U.S.
I love it.
But she's legit. She's cool.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
We gotta get some garbage foxes, Kate.
I know.
Yep. Or just like any type of fox.
Although the shrimps scare me, even though they're fake shrimps.
She's allergic.
I'm anaphylactic.
Very sensitive, if you can't tell about it. Can you throw your scarf away? I feel itchy. We had this boss that we like really did not like when we were at Blue Mercury. And Casey like uses her shrimp allergy as a power sometimes. I'm allowed to sit next to her if I eat shrimp. I think she like understands I'm not gonna fling it in her face or something. She made our boss switch seats with people.
I was like, if you're gonna have the shrimp, you're gonna have to move.
Yeah, she literally was like, you're gonna have to move. And she was like, okay.
I think it was like more of a situation where like there was a bunch of people ordering shrimp, so I was like,
it was a power play and I super appreciated it. She was literally the only person ordering shrimp. I remember this day so clearly because it made me so happy.
I don't remember what, like,
I remember all of it. I remember what we talked about. I remember what I was wearing. Like, that's how clearly I remember it. Because I was like, oh, damn. Anyway, well, is it my turn? Oh, God. My favorite things I kind of am pulling out of my butt right now because I forgot. But I'm redoing my website. I finally found a designer. It took like four freaking ever. Mm. One person was like going on maternity leave. One person was like, I just at the last minute got scared. And so I found a place based out in Nashville. It's called Honor Design. And they're just so cool. They work with like a lot of songwriters, some pretty cool like influencers and some other businesses.
I didn't realize they were in Nashville. Yeah. So cool.
They're like so cool. Now I've just like, went down like these really deep foxholes of stalking all of them and their brand, and it's just so good. So stay tuned. Honor Design coming at you. My second thing, you've heard me talk about it before, from Shaw and Shaw Jewelers in DC.
Oh, yeah, I need you to fix mine.
I can fix yours. I love them. They're a client of mine. They also make like beautiful fucking jewelry. It's just so good.
Is that the rope diamond thing? Yes. Let me see. Okay, so after I was listening to the episode where you talk about that, I started, like, Googling.
Mine's already loose. It's okay. That's why I need you to fix mine. I couldn't do it myself after my massage.
Yeah, I mean, they just make such good stuff. Like, it is definitely higher price point stuff, but they do things like this bling on the string that you're looking at.
So
that, like,
pretty and simple.
They're so good. I had my grandmother's engagement ring, and for my sister's birthday, we're not playing this before April 26th, are we? She doesn't want this one. Let's be serious.
Yes, we are. It's going up tomorrow.
Hey, Kristen, here's your birthday present. I turned my grandmother's engagement ring center stone into a bezel necklace for her. So they're really good about, like, taking old pieces and, like, redesigning them, which has been fun. I also brought them, like, the side stones are now stacking rings. And then I brought them these, like, gaudy, awful, like, aquamarines my grandmother had in, like, this really awful, like, cheap gold. But it's, like, nice aquamarine stones. So they're restructuring that into something. So I'm all about, like, recycling, like, the nice things that you have and, like, redesigning them to be relevant. I'm just like, why would we sit on stuff like this that you're literally never going to use, or you're going to wait, like, generations?
I so agree.
So, I mean, and it's like, if you think about it, it's not that expensive compared to, like, you know, you already have the expensive part if you have the stone. So.
And you're actually using it.
That's exactly. So I'm pretty jazzed about that.
Yeah. So my mom's one of seven, and they pulled out of a hat who would get my grandmother's engagement ring, and my aunt got it, and it literally sits in her closet in a bag.
What a waste.
That sucks.
Her daughter got engaged, and it's still sitting in the bag.
That's stupid.
I know.
Yeah, I feel like that happens so often.
So frustrating, because it's like, don't let it just sit, like, what is it doing sitting there?
Yeah, and it's also, like, so fun to get, like, design jewelry. Yeah.
So I'm going to get their information from you, because I have, like, loose stones that... I have a vision for what I want, and it's, like, weird kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so I
he
just
loves
need,
weird stuff.
I need people who are going to take it, and, like, I love the simplicity of what you have. It's awesome.
And they do a lot of really weird shit there. Like, Colin Shaw is a creative-ass mind, and his design, like, he does these heartbeats, which is the other one I'm wearing.
He does these, this ring that I love called Love Hurts, and it's diamonds upside down, so it looks like diamond studs.
It's like, you can punch somebody and kill them with it.
I want it.
Yeah, it's pretty rad.
For that purpose.
I do a lot of, like, snakes too. There's a revolver. Like a diamond revolver gun.
The skull is super
cool. Coral
too.
Skull. Like, he does some cool stuff.
I love that skull ring.
Anyway, yeah, repurpose your stuff. Don't wait on it. It's kind of like such a waste. And then that kind of fits into my last, actually it doesn't fit in at all, but here I go. I've been trying to, like, every season arrives and I hate all my clothes always, right? So I'm trying to, like, get ahead of it, since especially because our winter has lasted for fucking ever. So I've been trying to, like, buy spring things before spring arrives. Like, I've even bought flip-flops already. Which, like, who prepares for flip-flops? But guilt is my jam. Like, I don't know anyone else that likes guilt, but I love it so much. Like, I know what brands I like. I know what sizes I am in those brands. I get alerts when they're on sale, and I buy the shit out of stuff. And, like, I'm kind of in a place where I never pay full price for anything anymore, because, like, it always will go on sale.
Yeah.
Like, even Louis Vuitton and Chanel go on sale on guilt and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I'm all about just, like, saving a buck or two these days on guilt.
Yeah, I looked on guilt this morning because I wanted to look for, like, any other, like, massage or facial deals on there. Mm-hmm. And then there's legit three different cycling studio coupons for Arlington. Right
now. Casey and I got spin classes for $5.
$5 each.
I mean, it's not the best spin place, but it's okay.
So
but
it's
it's fine.
But I feel like in the world of online shop, there's always a discount code you can get.
Yeah.
And so I am also the person who will, for example, speaking of cycling, we just bought a Peloton bike.
Okay, yeah.
And it's being delivered tomorrow.
Oh my God.
P.S. Never taken a spin class, so God help me.
My cousin has one. She loves it.
So our neighbor was, we went to their house and he was like, oh yeah, I love it. I use it every morning. And he was like, oh, we said, can you give us the affiliate code? Because you get $100 off your bike and accessories, and then they get $100 credit.
Cool.
So, like, boom, free shoes essentially. Yeah. There were $25 spin shoes with the bike.
That's awesome. Yeah, you might as well. I mean, anybody that pays for shipping is a donkey at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, unless you're ordering from some, like, weird overseas company luxury item. And speaking of that, I'm, like, constantly disappointed in luxury brands with their, like, lack of ease of customer service and shipping and, like, everything. It's, like, always mind-boggling to me. You know?
Yeah.
It's, like, as a luxury company, you should be able to, like, handle these things. But I think it's because they're, like, small-crafted still. I know, I ordered those Tod's loafers for Chris's birthday. Mm-hmm. And the packaging though, which I'm a sucker for, is like beautiful. But then like exchanging it was like hopping overseas physically, going into the store and exchanging it. It's like, come on, people.
Oh yeah, that's like when I had with my Tiffany's engagement ring. Customer service was, I had to like, luckily I went to my LinkedIn to find out if I knew anybody in their PR department, and I contacted them and I was like, this is bullshit. It was terrible. I will literally never purchase from Tiffany's ever again for the rest of my life.
Hate.
So anti. Their customer service was shit.
Louis Vuitton was too. Anyways, being positive.
Anyway.
And I hate them too. Those are my three things. I will give one shout out thing though. I've actually kind of gotten tired of wine lately. Which like...
But what do you do?
I think there's something like wrong with me. Because like this has never happened.
So I like beer. I just like cannot drink a lot of it. I just like...
That's why I like drinking beer. Because I know I can't drink a lot of it. So I feel better if I drink beer.
See, I still do. I just hurt, right? So it's like, I don't sacrifice the fun part. I just like, I'm like, oh, this sucks. Well, drinking. And I am not gluten-free. I fucking love gluten, just for the record. But Omission beer, which is gluten-free, is like my lifesaver. Because you can like drink it without being all like bloaty and burpy and like weird. Yeah. And like, they're just like good. They don't taste gluten-free. They're not gross. So, and there's like several different kinds. So that's like my little cheat way of like...
But also, like, beer. I can drink Corona Lights. Like, I can drink 25 of those.
Yeah, it's like water.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, like, I can't say it's always appropriate to drink Corona Light.
No, it's definitely not.
Like, not. Like, I can almost always find a reason to drink Corona Light because it's so good. But, like, there's just sometimes when it's not. Like, when it's winter and you're at, like, a formal event.
And you're like, can I have a Corona Light with a lime? With fruit, please?
Oh, you fancy. I feel like the beer world is something where I definitely, like, haven't delved into, which is weird because, like, Loudoun County is becoming, like, a beer place. No. I love liquor, though.
Mm.
Like, and dark
liquor.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge liquor person, but I love beer and wine.
I only like clear liquor.
We have gotten into, like, a whiskey, cognac, like, weird.
You're so sophisticated.
I haven't been able to drink whiskey for almost a year.
Yeah, we had an incident with this one.
So I'm that way with Hendrix Gin. Used to love Hendrix.
Hendrix is my favorite thing on the planet.
I had an incident, and now I, like, can't.
Do you want me to move it out of your sight? There's, like, a bottle right in front of your face.
I'll move the shrimp scarf.
Yeah, no, I used to drink, like, straight whiskey on the rocks, and I have not been able to since April 19th, 2017.
The incident. It's almost been a year.
Oh, man, that was an event.
For sure.
I don't really even care about saying this, but I
know what you're gonna say, and it hurts me to listen.
My husband says I was like at like blacked out. I like got home and like was like literally laying in the bed, which was like, I'm gonna throw up, and he gave me our dog's bowl, and I threw up.
You
did
a dog bowl. This was me. Are you sure that you want whiskey? I'm Irish. I drink whiskey all the time. And then she like just disappeared. Never. Was not. Seen at work the next day. I couldn't find her.
We were with my boss, so that was good.
And I'm like covering for her because I like know exactly what happened, but I was like, fuck you, Casey. Like I'm shooting by myself. I'm like holding the like deflector, shooting, and like doing all things
like,
at the same time.
I also wanted to make sure that everyone knows that we split like 6 bottles of rosé between 4 of us before I had the whiskey.
But like, but then no one else had whiskey. No. That's the key differentiator here.
No. Well, you ordered a glass of Prosecco and then ran away. She was literally like, I have to go.
Because I knew it was going to happen to me. That's what being 32 does for you guys. You just wait. And there will become a time in your life when, like, the hangover is just not worth it.
Oh,
it will come. And you will find, like, you'll be like, this is what being old is. Just wait for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what was your AIM screening?
So, it was...
Or are you too young?
No. It was the thing. And it was, like, in lieu of all other real conversation you wanted to have, and you would leave cryptic away messages.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
there were always song lyrics. Like, some 40-year
yes, song. Some boy. Yes.
Song lyrics are my jam.
So, my AIM screen name was Cherry Leany Bean. My family... There are 6 people in my family who can call me Leany. That is it. If anyone else calls me that, it is unacceptable.
Cute.
And if they use my real name, if the people who call me Leany call me Carlene, I know I'm in deep shit.
Carlene?
There's no in between.
That's so funny. I love that.
You're like, here's my secret screen name. You can't call me that. I love it. Screen names are so weird. It's like my favorite thing. Did you always want to be a registered dietitian content creator?
So in 4th grade, my career choice was orthodontics. Because science-y. Well, no, this is why. I noticed basically everybody in fourth grade has braces or a retainer, right? Yeah. So I was like...
Oh, I had the PAL expander. That's
really yeah, one which is, by the way, the weirdest thing. Chris and I just had a conversation about this.
Yeah, it's
you
so
are
painful.
Expanding your palate? That yes. is Wait, horrible.
I had it twice. So my orthodontist, like, he literally, like, fucked up my mouth for, like, life. I had it twice. I had it once in third grade, once in fifth grade, and now I have, like, a slight overbite, and I have, like, TMJ in my jaw. Like, sometimes I wake up and I can't, like, open
Because they
my
did
mouth.
It too far?
Yeah, he expanded it too far.
He's waiting for you to come back, repeat customer.
And I have spaces.
So, yeah, anyway. my theory was I could make a lot of money as an orthodontist.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to be an orthodontist and then a part-time florist because, you know, flowers. And I was in fourth grade. That was it.
That's amazing.
That was like very practical of you.
Very.
I wish I was that practical. Yeah. That's awesome. What was your first job?
Archery instructor.
I'm sorry, what? Like bow and arrow?
Yeah. So, I don't know why. Oh, so I went to Girl Scout camp a lot. My mom was, like, super involved. My godmother is the one who runs all of the Girl Scout camps in, like, the D.C. region.
Cool.
She's a cool Whoa. Lady. So that was, like, my summer. I lived for Girl Scout camp.
So cool.
And they always had archery classes. And so I was pretty decent at it. And so my parents got me private classes. Okay. And then from there, I went on to train with a former Olympian. And so all throughout middle school and high school, I did archery. And so I would teach during the summers archery classes to, like, basically six-year-old boys who were like, a Canadian goose, I'm going to shoot it out of the sky.
Oh, my
and,
God.
You're like, no.
Yeah, so my job was making sure nobody killed other people.
That's a lot of responsibility for a little peanut.
Well, remember, I'm internally 86, and in fourth grade, right. I decided I was going to be an orthodontist.
Yeah, so you were, like, 60 at that
I was
point.
Pretty responsible. Yeah, I was 60.
You were saving it for your retirement.
I had an AARP membership.
Yeah, yeah.
You,
like,
parking.
Forged it. You were, like, looking forward to it.
Oh, my gosh, that's so
I love
funny.
That. Way more interesting than our lives.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to be a movie star. And then I was a grocery bagger.
Where did I think that? So full disclosure, if Chris and I worked together, my Chris, one of us would be dead. So do tell how it is working with your husband.
So my Chris and I have known each other since fourth grade.
Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Are you from Loudoun County?
Oh my God, I love
yeah.
it.
Okay. We are both born and raised Loudoun Countyers, which we saw a stat actually. So Loudoun County, for, like, those of you who are not in the area, is one of the fastest growing counties. And we saw a stat that, like, less than 70% of the people in the county have lived there for 10 years or less.
Wow.
So when people are like, wow. you're from here, we're like, yeah. yeah. But I mean, we really like it. So we've known each other since fourth grade. We
oh
were
my
best
God,
friends. And then he finally, like, wore me down and I agreed to date him.
In college or before college?
No, at the end of high school.
Okay.
Yes.
Did he go to JMU?
Yeah.
Little lovers.
Lived together. So, I mean, it's, I think it's hard because we really enjoy each other's company. Like, he's my person. He
yeah,
gets me.
Yeah.
He knows when to feed me snacks.
Yeah.
When to let me just complain, even if I, like, might be wrong,
right.
probably. So we really understand each other. And so for us, it's, we don't like other people in general.
Yeah.
Like, we like each other. It's harder to deal with clients than other people. So
gotcha.
For us, we work really well together. I handle most of the client stuff, all the business related stuff, and
okay.
Chris can use his creativity to his full extent in a way I never could.
Gotcha.
So he's such an asset. It works really well, and I handle all of, like, the logistical stuff and, like, the on camera stuff.
Partnership.
And it works really well. But yeah, a lot of people are like, I would actually murder my spouse.
I really would.
I don't know.
I mean,
know.
It would probably be Chris that would be dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look
100%.
I'm a survivor.
You look scrappy.
100%. I feel like Chris would just be like, I surrender.
Yeah.
Like, white flag.
White flag, bye.
White flag.
Love you, honey. Yeah, no, I mean, I think partnerships in general are difficult. So I'm working together, living in the same space, and being partners is, like, mad respect for that, for sure. Could
yeah.
you do it? Could you initiate it?
Maybe. I think if, like... I don't know, maybe, but, like, we're the opposite, where, like, I'm, like, far more creative and, like, wants to run with ideas, where my husband's much more, like, numbers. He's an engineer, so, like,
oh, yeah.
numbers, analytical stuff, practicality, and, like, all of that stuff. So I think we would make a good pair. I just don't know what
you would do.
What we would actually do.
Dog training.
I mean, I would love for, like, him to, like, maybe one day just be, like, the business manager, like, with my business if he wanted to do that. But I also feel like we... Both of us are very independent, so, like, we need, like, other things.
Yeah. It's just cool that, I mean, were you guys, like,
yeah.
in fourth grade being like, we're going to cook together?
Chris was, well, it's funny, I will pull this up on my phone, like, mid-conversation, but our yearbook picture literally next to each other, like in the group
so
picture.
Cute.
We're both hideous as hell. Like choker necklace, butterfly clips.
Yes,
But no, he said, he was like, I had a crush on you. And I was like, the only thing I remember from fourth grade is like Caitlin Abraham barfing on your desk. That's like,
oh my god. Childhood memory. That is so, sorry, Caitlin.
Oh my god. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Caitlin, you happen to be so
amazing. I like don't even think I remember anything from fourth grade. Like
I got sent to the principal's office for the first time in fourth grade.
That was for the first time.
Beginning of a beautiful career.
The first of 800 times.
Just like, don't tell me I'm wrong. I'm not. Okay, when you feel deflated or frustrated or defeated being a business owner in the hustle of having a business, like where do you go to get back on your feet or for inspiration?
I feel like a lot of it for me is the fact.
This is the picture.
Oh my god.
You guys are so cute. What are you talking about?
That bowl cut though. He was very JTT.
But like bowl cuts are like super glasses. On trend, you know?
He was in. I would have dated him. Don't be so stiff.
I know. That hair, though. So, to get away, to be more inspired, I feel like a lot of it is I have to be offline.
Gotcha.
I feel like you get into a cycle of, for me at least, I will get really caught up in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And have these, like, why is this not working out? But I think it's the fact that literally every time we have something, quote, bad happen or a pitfall, something that doesn't work out, that was like the contract was signed and it doesn't work.
Right.
Something better always comes along. It happens in threes for us. We have this figured out down to a science.
Oh my gosh.
Like life happens for a reason, for sure.
Three shitty things will happen and then something insanely amazing will land in the inbox.
Ah. So you like kind of hope for number three at that point?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's next. Once two hits, we're like, bring it on.
Yeah.
And actually, we should be on track because yesterday we found a squirrel put a nut in the engine of our Prius and it wouldn't work.
What?
So that was thing number one. And then we had thing number two. So Chris, figure out thing number three and then see what should happen. So I have to be, I made a list.
Mercury's also in retrograde, so that could be.
Mm-hmm. That is kind of like your number two.
Travel delays would include a squirrel putting a nut in your car. Mm-hmm.
Fuck that squirrel.
Rude ass squirrel.
So I need to be outside. I need sunlight. I need plants. I need to be outside in nature. I need to read. And I need usually a glass of wine or really good food. I have to like go out to a restaurant and experience food. Those are like three things that help me just reset.
You just like really know yourself very well.
Had a lot of introspective time.
That's awesome though. I mean, a lot of people don't have that. A lot of people grasp and I think
I'm definitely still figuring that out.
So good to know like what calms you and like,
I think for
inspires
me,
you.
If I love efficiency. And so because I finally figured out my shit, like I sat down because I was so tired of, I mean, especially when you work for yourself, you have these moments of like frustration all the time. And so if you can narrow it down to a simple list of what makes you feel better,
right,
I can get over it faster and move on.
Efficient, yeah. Even your efficiency is efficient.
Yeah.
Dig it.
I'm also obsessed with efficiency, but like I don't know if it's like super healthy.
Well, she's also years into her business and you're just starting. I think you go through, you have to like use that self-discovery technique.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to figure out who the F you are.
I'm still, what I'm trying to figure out now is like, what are the things I need to do every day to keep myself like in a good place?
Yeah.
Haven't figured out yet. TBD. Stay tuned.
I don't even know if you do figure that out. I mean, at least for us with our business constantly evolving, like I talked about how we did photos and then I moved to video and then who knows what it's going to be.
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like we're definitely in this place of like, we would love to do a cookbook.
So
and I don't know if I've ever said that like publicly outside of my group of friends, but like we would really love to do a cookbook.
Put it out there, make it happen.
We have
to do an ebook, do a mini ebook.
I've done ebooks, but I want this to be
like,
you know, it's hard because you realize you're putting it on yourself. Like you have these standards that like nobody else cares about, right?
Right.
But I want it to be a publisher that would put it in Barnes & Noble. I want to be able to walk into a store and see our fucking book in hand, you know?
So cool.
And I think that's hard because we had an opportunity come to us. It wasn't, I mean, they were like, we want to do a book with you. And it was a smaller publisher. And we were like, not the right thing for us.
Yeah.
And then we thought we were making a lot of headway and then it stopped. And so for us, like, I don't know what I need to do to get back on track for that. Like, that's my project now. I want this book. I want to make it happen. But I don't know what it is I need to do every day. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, I feel like it goes back to what you said before, that I was like, as long as you're doing you and like following your authentic path and doing everything that feels good to you, like it will fall into place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's also like a big life thing, right? Like it's going to happen when it needs to happen.
Yeah, let's, not rushing things. It's like the whole pause and play thing.
Yeah. And so where that kind of stemmed from, I forget which Oprah episode it was.
That's because, how we measure our life.
Because I listened to like a bunch of her episodes plus the Goop one. But she said, like, you can't, like, squeeze something. Like, if you squeeze something so tightly, like, you just have to, like, let the things come to you. Like, mm-hmm. not saying just, like, sit around and wait, because I hate The Secret. I hate the whole premise of what The Secret is, because for me, I just don't believe that you just think things and they come to you. But if you're, like, doing good work, you just have to, like, let it happen instead of, like, crazy, like, holding onto the fish, right? Like, you squeeze the fish too hard and it just slips out of your hand.
It's a good visual.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm like really intense.
I can totally imagine that.
But I was like, okay, like Oprah knows, so
she's done some okay things in her life.
Oprah's done fucking some shit, knows everything. So she knows. Fucking so Oprah. I'm gonna listen to Oprah. But yeah, no, I feel like that's the thing. Like sometimes you can get like, especially for me, like so caught up in being like, I need more weddings, I need more of this, and like you just like, I'm gonna spend 18 hours today doing everything I can to do it, but then you just are kind of like running around in place.
It's busy for the sake of busyness.
Yes.
And I'm like a recovering border collie. I had to be doing something. Yeah, we used to have them too, and they would a 4-inch dirt track around my parents' house. The same path multiple times a day.
Yes.
And that's what I would do. Like I felt like I had to be doing anything, something, being busy. And that is not true for me.
Right. It's also not productive. Right.
Yeah. It's not productive. Right. It's not efficient. It's all of that stuff. Yeah. And it's hard for me because I'm the type of person I need to see something being done to feel like I'm on track.
Right.
Me too. So I'm in this weird place right now. It's fucking Mercury. I'm telling you.
Mercury in retrograde is like, is coming in so hot.
That discomfort is what good things come from. You know what I mean? Like it's going to shake out to be something. So I think like being able to be comfortable in the discomfort is like such something I certainly haven't learned yet, but I'm like, I'm okay with the idea of it now. Mm. And I feel like that discomfort, I almost get excited because I'm like, I'm feeling like wiggly and itchy, but like what's happening? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to buy your book.
It's
all I know.
One sale.
Woohoo, you're a millionaire. Okay, so let's get into the nutrition stuff, the down and dirty. So this all came about because Casey and I are in our 30s and we need help. But aside from that, like people had so many questions. It's such a big space. So we pitched a bunch of questions to you and like we'll let you focus wherever you want to focus. And then, you know, maybe we'll have to do like an episode 2 at some point.
Yeah, and I think that like for Aaron and I specifically, we like your point of view on things because there are so many like perspectives on nutrition and diet that are just like so crazy and intense.
Right. Okay, so first question. Do women our age, we're going to include like, you know, late 20s to late 30s, how important is breakfast?
I would say it depends on the breakfast.
Okay. Mm.
So if you're having a Pop-Tart, like you could do better. And it's not about a food shaming thing. It is not. I feel like there are layers to this. Like every nutrition thing, I always go in cautious of people who have suffered from eating disorders or disordered eating habits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can say like, no, that's bad. That's good. And it's not good versus bad. It's how you feel and how it is in the perspective of a larger, broader scheme of how you're eating. But for the breakfast question, I know I personally need to eat breakfast because I will feel like shit before lunch. I will be very disorganized, very unfocused. And so from an energy thing, I need to eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that means an egg wrap. So like egg whites, veggies, whatever, cheese.
Mm. Yeah.
An egg wrap. Or it means like a smoothie or it means something like that. So for me, as long as it has protein, it has a healthy fat, it has some starches or some fiber, I'm happy and I know it'll keep me going to lunch. Okay. So it's what it is, not if or.
Okay. I guess. So there are some, is it to be implied then that some people might be fine without breakfast?
Yeah, some people.
Yeah.
And I think there are, it's knowing yourself and it goes back to that whole introspective thing. Yeah. Some people are fine.
Yeah.
I know when I travel, I can't wake up and eat breakfast. My ideal, like I have to be basically like mid-flight.
Okay.
I need to have my shit handled. I need to be like organized at the airport through TSA.
Right.
And then
I will do breakfast. So I think it's just a matter of what works best for you and how you feel.
I wake up starving. You know what's so funny? I'm like the opposite. Like at like most days I'm fine to not eat until like 10:30, 11, and I on my normal days I'm up at like 6:37. But when I travel, like I need something in my stomach or I will be too anxious.
I feel like also, I mean, anxiety is such a combination of things, right? So like those hormones and emotions can probably trigger like what you need that day.
Yeah. But like I'd have like half a banana before traveling, like really light, but just like something there so that I don't like feel like nauseous about.
Yeah. I have snacks in my bag always.
I have emergency snacks everywhere we go. I get really hangry.
I told you when we talked on the phone that literally we were in Miami together and at 11 p.m. Aaron is like, we're in the dark eating a snack bar.
I get really hangry.
I wake up hangry. That could seriously just be the way you are. You are a constant snack and energy person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And based on what you were saying earlier, like you were like, I don't need more energy. Your metabolism or like the way your body processes just might be faster than other people. Like, my husband can go without eating an entire day, and I'm
That's
like,
how Chris is.
No, I need every 3 hours, I need to be fed, or I'm a disaster.
Is that a female thing?
I don't know, and I think that has to do with the question.
I'm not like that.
Yeah, I think I think it's almost a media-based thing to be, like, hangry or to be snacky or
whatever.
I've been
hangry since I was, like, a kindergartner, so.
But, yeah, like...
Original people.
Like you were saying, it's not for you. Like, you don't get that way.
No,
right?
I'm pretty good. Like, I will eat, like, 10:30, 11, and I'll have something pretty, like, light, like, maybe, like, scrambled eggs or a smoothie. And then even lunch, like, but, like, when it comes to, it's funny. So, like, lunch, I could do, like, really small, like, salad or whatever. But then when it comes to dinner, I'm not kidding. I could eat, like, a breakfast sandwich, like, a lunch sandwich, and, like, a normal dinner and dessert all at the same time. It's, like, at night, like, I just, like, that's when I want to, like, eat everything, which is why I have pre-dinner snack.
But first,
then I make sure that I also make sure that, like, 2 hours before I know I'm going to go to bed, there's no, all I drink is water. But, like,
I don't know if I believe you when you say that. You don't drink wine for 2 hours before bed now.
Yeah.
Do you not go to bed until 4 a.m.?
No. Well, I mean, most nights when I'm, like, home, if I'm, like,
going... Calling bullshit on them.
If I'm, like, going out to dinner, I don't, like, pressure myself, but because, like, I just have, like, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
So I really try to do, like, to stop any food or alcohol, not even tea, just water from, like, 8:30 on. And honestly, the more you do it and the better you sleep, it's not that hard.
I believe in eating when you're hungry.
But sometimes I start to have my wine at wine from 4 to 8:30.
Wine time shifts depending on bedtime. Okay.
I don't think it's good to eat all that food though. Like at night.
That's why you have GERD.
I do have GERD.
I mean, that's seriously for GERD. That's like you're not supposed to lie flat for several hours after you eat.
And that's like based. So like my father has GERD, and it's like very hereditary.
I hate that word so much.
It's the worst word, but it's also like kind of a funny word. But especially, I'm better like in the summer. It's a little bit better because I'm not drinking a lot of red wine. But in the winter with the red wine, it's like I literally.
Those Corona lights will ease you in.
I like. Yeah, I can't. It's just like, but it's also just like my food just like doesn't digest as fast as it used to, which is so sad.
What is the deal with intermittent fasting?
So this is, okay, I thought this was interesting that like when you guys emailed me questions, it was perfectly placed after the breakfast question. So for anybody not familiar with intermittent fasting, there are like a bajillion different protocols now. There are people who do it a certain number of hours, like don't eat for a certain number of hours. There are people that do super low calorie every 2 days, every other day. There are like so many different ways to do it now.
Okay.
But essentially, you're not letting your body have anything except no non-calorie beverages for a certain amount of time.
So like tea, water,
so
black coffee, does that count?
I don't think so, unless you're putting a sweetener in it.
Oh, okay.
But the theory is, like, you would not eat from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Right.
And some people do that naturally. I think about sometimes where I have...
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. These dogs are stinky.
I don't even smell it yet. It hasn't happened.
Just wait for it.
where I do that naturally, and it's not intentional. It's either, like, I have a really big dinner at 6 p.m., like, especially during summer. You know, like, you do that, and then you sit out and talk all night or whatever. Right. And the next morning, you roll out of bed, and you're like, I'm okay. Still full.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting is not for everyone, and the studies are mixed, and this is where I'm like, you know how people are like, don't at me, like, don't mention
me.
Don't come after me for this. The studies are mixed. A lot of the studies are done on rats, they have a different metabolism than people. They have a different lifespan than people. Mm-hmm. A lot of studies say maybe women shouldn't do it because mm-hmm. of the way it affects your hormones. Mm-hmm. It is so mixed right now. I would personally never do it because I love food and I don't like to set rules like that right. for myself. Mm-hmm. I also think that is another hole where people with disordered eating habits can fall into. Gotcha. And they're like, well, I'm doing intermittent fasting and it can become an excuse.
With it, like withholding.
Right.
So is the point weight loss?
So yes, people say weight loss, better blood sugar levels, better blood lipid panels. And there is some research. And again, you have to look at the validity and how many sample size and right. all of that stuff when you look at a study. There are some studies that say it is helpful for that.
Okay.
Not for everyone. I would look at also when you are eating during that time period, because intermittent fasting does not designate certain foods you can and cannot have. It's based on time period of right. fasting and eating. If you are eating shit
all day,
yeah. it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
So I think that's
a choice then.
Yeah, it's a bigger question of, is that the habit? Is it really the habit of right. what time periods you're eating and not eating that is going to do it for you? Or are there right. other things you could look at?
Interesting. Has anybody ever murdered anybody while intermittent fasting?
I would. I would kill many people.
I'm like, that has to be an excuse in court of insanity.
I was hungry. You're hungry.
For me, it is. Chris, yeah. intermittent fast. Often, he also has, like, a ridiculous self-control and, like, doesn't get hangry, so, like, works for him, and, like, he can drop weight really quickly, or, like, I just feel like I'd be a psychopath and not be able to get anything done and, like, be nutty.
I guess I, like, technically do it, but it's just what I feel like works best for me. Like, if I wake up one morning and I'm really hungry at 7:30, then I'm gonna eat food at 7:30, but honestly, most of the time, I don't want to eat food until, like, 10:30, 11. And then, again, like, I don't eat food after, like, 8:30. Yeah.
So, yeah. You, I mean, you could be technically doing it and not being aware, but I think it's hard when you put... Some people do really pressure. Well with rules
right. yeah.
and structure. And other people, it tips them into overcompensating later, and yeah. it really skews things.
Gotcha. Okay, so metabolism seems to be, like, the whole key to, like, weight loss, supposedly. Can we and how do we sort of, like, deal with slowing metabolisms as we go into our older 30-year-old selves.
So the problem becomes your metabolism decreases like 1-2% every decade, but it hits you in your late 20s. Okay. So the hard part is you have had all these habits in college and like right after college when you're going out, you're drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You are probably involved in like intramural sports. You have a good workout routine and then you enter like a sedentary workforce mm-hmm. at the same time.
Right.
You may or may not have gotten married. Like, you are not... Your life has just changed so significantly from so many different angles. And the calorie intake is not meeting the calorie output. That's, like, a really short way to say it.
Okay.
But the way you can hack it is you should always be focusing on building lean muscle. Like, okay. you still need to be working out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And realizing you can't eat what you used to eat in college.
Yeah, your body is just different.
It's just not the same.
Sorry, everyone.
Oh, man. I know. I, like, think about what I used to eat when I was, like, in high school and college. And, I mean, I probably ate like a, like, 18-year-old boy for most of my life. And was, like, I had, like, was skin and bones. And then 28 came around, I was like, the fuck is happening?
My body started shutting down when I was 28 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you,
like, what just happened in the, like, 1 year?
It happens fast. I mean, I think there's, people are like, oh, there's not a specific number, but you're like, you talk to a lot of people and they're like, nah, I don't know. I definitely realized it around a certain point.
Yeah, but it's also like, I mean, at 28, I was like working 50 hours a week. Like, I was trying my very best to exercise, but like, it just
ain't happening.
Can't really happen when you're working 50 to 60 hour weeks.
So yeah, I mean, the keep working out, keep doing the muscle okay. building type things. Genetics do play a role. So I mean, sometimes you're just
yeah.
not shit at all.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blaming on that, not trying. Okay, so here's some of the ones that we sent you. What can I substitute coffee with? We had one somebody ask. They love the taste and energy, but it makes them feel bloated. Is there a coffee substitute that you like?
Okay, so the reason I wanted to address this one. I wonder what else they're putting in their coffee.
That's
or
what
they're
I was
going to
do. Yeah.
Sugar.
I feel like 50% of being a dietitian is being a detective. Because what did you have before? What did you have after? What did you put in it?
Yeah.
So if you are going to Starbucks and you are getting a skinny latte, let's say.
Okay.
The skinny is sugar alcohol sweetener. It's an it is by FDA's definition a laxative. So anytime you see sorbitol, xylitol, it's a zero calorie sweetener, but it is also a diuretic. For me, I luckily do not have the diuretic induced side effects of it, but I get really uncomfortable. Like my stomach feels like it's in knots if I have any kind of sugar alcohols. So that's part one. Okay. Part two is lactose intolerance. So if you're putting dairy in and you are lactose intolerant, that's really going to make you feel bloated and uncomfortable.
Interesting.
Part three is some people are just sensitive to black coffee on an empty stomach.
Right.
Maybe have breakfast before.
Yeah, I have to eat something before I have a lot of coffee.
Oh, not me.
Like jacked up.
Not me. That's my coffee. I love black coffee.
I put cream in mine.
Oh, no, no. I have, so we have an espresso. What is it? It comes with a frother attached. Yes. Oh my God. I like don't have coffee out anymore because nothing is good.
Oh, that's good. We make really good coffee here too. It's like, makes you feel really good in like an adult when you can make really good coffee at home. Okay. That's a good one. How do you, I love this question we got from one of my friends. How do you get a grip on portion control? How do I not order the burger when I go out?
So with portion control, I feel like it's hard because if you are eating packaged snacks, the companies are essentially setting you up for failure. If you look at any snack bag or box of cookies or whatever, it looks like a single serving, but if you flip it over, it says the serving is like, you know, there are three in there or two in there or one or a half. And the calorie amount only reflects the serving size of their serving, not the entire bag.
Yeah.
So I would say don't eat out of the bag. Number two, switch your plate size. We eat off of salad plates at home because standard American dinner plates are enormous and can skew the actual amount you think you need. So we eat off of salad plates.
Where do you get, like, what salad plates do you have?
They are actually my grandma's.
Oh, wow.
So they're super old and just plain white, but they're old school. But Crate and Barrel has really good ones.
Okay.
I like Crate and Barrel. And then the third thing is I would test yourself in terms of actually portioning things out, like per half cup or whatever once, and seeing how close you are to what it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that, because, like, my husband is like, he's an ex rugby player. He's Australian. So he's just like larger than the average man. But like, we have these giant bowls that like, he always uses the giant bowl. And we have like these tiny little bowls, but like, I love the tiny bowls because I could fill it up and it's not that much, but it feels like it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like totally like mind trickery.
It is. There's, Michael Pollan, who's, you know, the guy they always study in food habit research. He has this lab, and they did this thing with soup bowls, and they had it filling from the bottom. So they instructed people to just come eat as much soup as they wanted, but because it was constantly refilling, they looked at it as it still being really full, and their brain, even if they were full, like, from a stomach perspective, their brain was like, oh, there's still a lot more. I can still keep eating.
Yeah,
so they ate way more with a bigger bowl with food that kept refilling.
Wow. I would totally do that.
Yeah, same. I also think it's just like, and I'm sure that like you came across this too, and like you're in school, like the American culture is just like you don't leave food on a plate.
Clean plate,
clean plate.
Via baby boomers who like were rationed, so it's like crazy. I remember learning about that.
I feel like I just had. So I think that was Brian Wonsick or Wozniak. Sorry, I'm having like a relapse.
A reference.
Sign it.
We'll correct it on the website.
Okay.
Don't you worry. We'll make sure that your quote is correct. Okay. Another question we had.
Ooh, the carbs one. Yeah.
So before you got here, Chris, we were talking about like fad diets kind of, and like I was saying, you probably have to be like in your late 20s or 30s to even like know the cyclical nature, right? Like, remember when like it was Atkins diet and then it was South Beach and then it was like all these things over time, and then like eventually they like canceled themselves out into like this new iteration of it. But yeah, so our Atkins was like the attack on carbs. So like, are carbs really that bad, and how do I limit carbs? Do I need to limit carbs?
I always, the Atkins thing is really interesting. So, well, now it's keto basically. It's
keto.
And actually it was funny. I was reading this article that Atkins literature used to include terminology that referred to keto, but people found it too confusing. So with carbs, it's funny because people assume every carb is bad, but usually what they actually mean in their heads is starches or sugars, right? Okay. Like bread, pasta, candy. carbs are your primary source of fuel. Like, your body is programmed to use carbs to feed your brain, like, in the most simple, fast way possible.
Okay.
I think the problem in general is people choose carbs that are maybe not the best choices.
Okay.
Pastas, et cetera. I love pasta. I love bread. I love all of that stuff, but I try and have the best form of it possible, and I always round it out with a lot of fiber.
Okay.
Mm. Chris always jokes around, we need a neon sign in our kitchen that says, like, fiber awaits. You know, like,
it's like her constantly.
Have you heard of Tanya Zuckerbot, the
yeah, of course.
Diet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's her entire thing, is a shit ton of fiber, essentially.
Yeah.
Because fiber makes you feel full. And so when you eat a lot of produce, like a ton of kale or cruciferous veggies like broccoli or cauliflower, and then a lot of whole grains like those Scandinavian breads, you are so full you cannot eat anything else.
Gotcha.
So carbs are definitely not bad.
Yeah.
It's just choosing ones that work best for you, work harder for you, I guess.
Not having like simple sugars and all that kind of stuff. Is like too much fruit bad? Like, from a sugar carb perspective?
No, I don't consider fruit bad at all. Mm-hmm. I think people who are not eating a balanced diet in general, it's a problem. But if your biggest problem is you eat too much fruit, let's just check.
Wait, so going back to the carbs thing. So, like, how do you make pizza a little bit healthier? Like, so, just to, like, get, like, tactical.
I would say you could, hypothetically, use like a whole wheat crust, or you could make, you know, the cauliflower crusts are a big thing right now, or you could use a sharper cheese to make it stand out, use less cheese. Mm. So you could use like a really sharp cheddar or like a really aged Parmesan.
Mm.
I say that though because for the past 3 days we've had pizza, homemade pizza.
So good.
Because we make our own dough, we ferment our own dough. It's amazing. It's so much better than a lot of the pizza you could get around here. It's this big, it fits in a cast iron skillet. And it's just...
Is it like homemade deep dish?
Kind of. We don't do deep dish, but it's crispy on the bottom. It's doughy.
Cast iron's so awesome.
My husband cooks with that.
He's like an amazing cook.
He's good cast iron.
Cast
iron's
so good.
That's what we're doing
for dinner. So we've had pizza the past 3 days. We still have that dough, but it's just like...
What about toppings? Let's talk about toppings.
Eighth of a cup of tomato.
Oh.
Like crushed, what are the Marzano? Like, it's a specific kind
of tomato.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That and like a few pieces of mozzarella and a little bit of Parmesan on top.
Okay.
But
and
like,
that's it.
If you added like broccoli, is that healthier? Like, not really.
I don't know. Not if you're not going to enjoy it as much.
Okay.
Like, we don't
you hate
have...
broccoli.
Go get my broccoli in. Yeah. Through my pizza.
So good.
You could do it as a side, like have a side salad or have a side thing of roasted vegetables if you're still hungry. Mm. But honestly, Chris and I are so satisfied with just like the two slices of actual real pizza and we're done for the evening.
Okay.
Like, we're so satisfied with that.
Mm. I love that you said that because what I found myself doing lately is like, okay, you know how, I don't know if this is a thing. I grew up in a fire department family. And in the fire department, you have a 1-2-3 meal. You have a meat, a vegetable, and a carb. Right? Like, I don't know if that's America or if that's fire.
No, that's super how I grew up too.
So like, that's often what I cook because that's like what Chris kind of expects. And so like, sometimes I'll make like, you know, a good chicken dish and like a sweet potato. And then I make like a veggie. And then sometimes I just like don't want the veggie, but I've already had vegetables that day. I feel full after I've already eaten like the chicken and the sweet potato. And then I'm like, should I stuff my body with these vegetables? Or is that at that point just like extra calories and shit that you don't need? You know what I mean?
I would need it. And I think that's...
I love you.
I mean, it's just real though, because I think it is being super in touch with your body. And I actually put this... So I started doing like these 5-minute Mondays on Instagram Live where I would just wellness tips in 5 minutes. And I talked about how I eat whatever the hell I want, even being a dietitian. And it is... Every meal of mine is not, quote, perfect. It's not like that my plate government standard.
Right.
Because from a culinary perspective, it doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
I want to eat the best version of whatever I can possible, whatever that looks like, and then reassess later. I look at it as the whole day versus meal by meal.
Okay.
And that's just where it works for me personally.
Okay. That makes sense.
So for the pizza, we had pizza, but at lunch, it could be like roasted broccoli, roasted cauliflower, and then rotisserie chicken.
Right.
And like no starch.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just
balances each other out.
Mm.
Okay. I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. Another question that we got, how much water do we actually need?
Institute of Medicine says 11 cups for women.
11 cups. But like a measuring cup.
I drink that like before 10 a.m. Is that bad?
No.
I drank like 4 of these events.
So it's not just water though. Like coffee counts, alcohol counts, fruit counts. It's,
as water?
Yeah.
What?
As the fluid. So the 11 fluid.
How am I not water right
I'm
now?
I'm the most hydrated human ever.
I know.
That's great. Good. A lot of people are way underhydrated and a lot of people eat instead of drink. So when they're like, oh, I'm hungry, they're actually probably thirsty.
Oh, I've heard that before. And I always like, if I am really hungry, I drink like water and then like reassess.
Yeah.
That water.
That's totally what I agree. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot
or
of
like really tired and sluggish.
Yes.
Water. Like I'll drink water and see where I'm at. Yeah.
I 100% agree with
but
that.
But like I drink so much. I'm not like a normal, like an average human when it comes to water consumption.
Do you sweat a lot?
Sorry. No.
Straight up.
No.
I sweat so much.
I actually don't. But like, so I've said this before on the podcast, but like I will drink a liter of water in my sleep. I don't really know if that's
normal. That's amazing. It's not normal.
And then I drink like one. I drink a whole one of these before I do anything else in the morning.
Same.
But it's like not so much out of like I need to drink water. Like I physically feel like I need
yeah.
to.
Drink do you drink
water.
A lot during the rest of the day, or is it just
yeah.
your consumption?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever works.
Yeah.
I find if I don't put an effort to drink in the first half of the day, I'm screwed after that because there's no way I will ever catch up because I will. We'll either be shooting or I'll be
right.
at my
yeah.
computer and totally block out everything.
Right. It's all about like knowing what your body needs, I feel.
Yeah.
That's like the name of the game.
Yeah.
I'm
what about for people who it's not easy for them to drink water? Like what would be some of your like
yeah.
tips or advice on getting more water?
I would say get a water bottle that you can clean easily. A lot of people like the Camelbacks, but those have straws and that's fucking disgusting. Like unless you're scrubbing out that straw, I have mega problems
yeah.
with that. Make sure it can fit in your cup holder if you drive, because
mm-hmm.
then you have no excuses.
Right.
Yeah.
I think those are all helpful. And then find if you like to add cucumber to it or mint or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they call them detox waters on Pinterest, and I always major eye
what?
Roll over that. Because you're like, all right, calm down. You
it's,
put
yeah.
spa,
it's just spa water.
You put some plants in there. It's not gonna solve your problems.
Put some grass
but...
in there.
So if you can find a way to flavor it, that's fine. Or fizzy water. I honestly love LaCroix.
Oh, I love sparkling water.
I can't do
water.
It.
You don't like it?
I like it, but I think carbonation is my issue with like beer and also sparkle water
yeah.
and stuff like that. Like it hurts my stomach and I burp a lot.
Some people, it
anyone.
Can make you bloated. Like
yeah.
it definitely affects some people, but I really love sparkling water.
I feel like it like helps. Like if I have like a stomach ache, I feel like carbonated like sparkling water actually helps.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
So a lot of, you know how when you're sick, parents are like, have some ginger ale.
Mm. Right.
Number one, that comes from the fact that ginger will help you reduce nausea. But number two, any kind of carbonation like that will open the gross word sphincter between your stomach and your upper intestine, like your small intestine. So it'll help it get through your system
yeah.
faster.
Interesting. Science for the win.
Yeah, I can't drink ginger ale anymore unless it's like real true, like ginger.
Like ginger beer.
Yeah.
Ginger, yeah.
Because it's just like too syrupy tasting, but I love sparkling water.
Everyone is allergic to ginger as a ginger. It's really hard to be me, you guys. Okay, water for the win. I'm skipping around now. Anti-aging or beauty foods. Is that a thing?
No, it's a thing.
Okay.
For real.
Yay.
So I would say, number one, foods that have a lot of water content.
Okay.
Hydration's important for skin. You guys, I think you mentioned you worked at Blue Mercury, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like if your cells aren't plump, if you're dehydrated, you're
right.
going to have like more
something.
Fine lines. You're going to feel like super dry and flaky.
Right.
If you get, you know the hand test thing? People
yeah.
are always like pinched, and if you can pinch a lot, you're dehydrated.
Right.
So foods with water. Foods with iron, things that'll help blood circulation.
Okay.
Spinach, beef, things like that.
Okay.
Antioxidants. That's like the simplest thing you could do or say.
Antioxidants.
Does
sweet
wine
potato.
Count?
It does.
Sure does.
No, you know that skincare brand, what is it, Caudalie?
Yeah.
Caudalie,
entirely
yeah.
based
it's all
on,
vino.
Yeah.
yeah.
Entirely based on wine.
They should sponsor us.
Yeah.
I know someone there.
We know them.
We'll email them.
There you go.
I love my Caudalie old lady neck cream.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the
vino, yeah.
I feel like any kind of neck cream is going to be super popular in the next 10 years because of all the tech now.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I just put, like, whatever's on my face on my neck right now because that's
nice. I just, like, I just have a lot of fear of the future right now when it comes to, like, aging, of, like, skin aging. That's why I do Botox.
Maybe scarves will be super popular.
Weird scar. Oh, help me in so many ways. Okay, last question here. I'm going to pick a goodie. How much does body type affect diet and nutrition and, like, what you need?
What do you mean body type?
Like, you know, the old school, like, are you apple shaped? Are you pear-shaped? Are you boy shaped? Like, whatever.
I think how you carry weight affects your perception of how happy you are with your body.
Okay.
I think that's probably the best way to phrase it. If you are somebody who carries a lot of weight in your hips and your ass, like, you could be really frustrated because your pant size is going to go up, and that's going to make you unhappy.
Gotcha.
So I feel like there's a lot of sizing stuff, a lot of vanity stuff that you could, like, kind of wrap into that conversation.
Right.
But if you are somebody who carries your weight in, like, if you carry your weight in your boobs, like, yay, good for you.
Yeah, I hate those people who are like, oh, I gained 10 pounds, it's all my boobs. I'm like, same with my A cup. Just kidding. So jealous of those people. I love you all.
So I think it's a personal perception of what you like in your body shape.
But there's no, like, okay, if you have if you're pear-shaped, if you have, like, if you carry your weight in your thighs and butt, there's no, like, foods that you should avoid, or, like, carbs are worse for you, or anything like that, because that's become, like, a new little trend as
well. Like, how to eat if you store fat in your stomach area, or you store fat, like, up, like, in your, like, upper, like, you're supposed to, like, eat different.
Is that a gimmick?
That's a gimmick for sure.
That makes me
It's kind of like how to, I read, this is an actual food trend, or a food and wellness trend. People who are looking for quizzes when you can personalize things, which is why 23andMe and that kind of thing is so popular, because you are able to test for specific kind of genetic things. Like, you're more likely to be gluten sensitive.
Right.
People love that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
They want to be told, like, it's okay to, like,
personalized marketing.
They want to know all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's always remember, the wellness industry is an industry and they're looking to make money. And so the newest and latest thing is important for them because it's a new source of revenue, and especially when celebrities grab onto it, it's like an endorsement, and it sparks a whole other, it, like, reaches, you know, people in Nebraska are like, yo, did you hear, like, so-and-so is doing this thing, and people on the coast are like, yeah, okay. The only thing with the body type, if you store a lot of weight in your midsection, you are more likely to have, like, heart problems. So, if you carry it apple shape, quote, that's usually, like, a body type they tell you to watch out for because they're more likely to have heart problems.
Okay. Gotcha. But that's then that's more prevention, is like working out and like heart health and having a cardiologist. It's not necessarily like, don't eat carbs ever.
Nope.
Okay.
That's like when people, remember, like, blood type diet was something for a while? Oh my God, everything goes in phases.
Yeah.
I mean, the name of the game is like eating a balanced, healthy diet and being aware of your body, correct?
The problem is the advice that works is the not sexy advice.
Right.
If I was over here and I was like, if you eat turtles, you're gonna have a hot body, like, I would be on every damn talk show,
and I would totally eat the turtles.
Yeah, I mean, people want to know.
That's true.
And so when I'm over here, like, you know, people are like, what did you eat? You're a dietitian. I'm like, I ate pizza.
Yeah.
I made a pizza last night and it was delish.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that. That's not sexy advice because it's so moderate.
Right.
And it's so real, and anybody can do it.
You have to do something for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. And we're in such a quick fix culture.
Yeah.
We're the worst. One thing that I did want to ask, because it came up several times. I know I lied and said it was the last question. A moment on bloating.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how coffee can, and lactose intolerance and, like, these sensitivities can cause bloating. Anything else about, like, bloating and, like, how to prevent it and what it comes from?
So there is, quick answer, sodium. Like, if you have you said you drink a ton of water. So that's your body balancing it out. Traveling can make you feel bloated.
Right.
Sugar alcohols can make you feel bloated. If you have a ton of fiber that you normally wouldn't, that's your body.
Is that why, like, broccoli and, like, really dark greens can hurt people's stomach?
For some people who aren't used to that amount, with Chris, I feed that poor man so much fiber. Like, okay, side note story. This company sent us some stuff in the mail, and one of the things they sent us was the 7-day colon cleanse. And Chris was like, I'll try it. And I was like, I'm not going to try it, and I'm not going to be the one to give it to you because I'm not going to be held responsible. He's like, I'll do it. Nothing happened. And I think it's because the main ingredients are fiber, you know, because they're just trying to push stuff out. But I don't think it was different from his normal fiber amount. So nothing happened.
We're believers in fiber, people.
I was going to say, so, like, fiber is, like, real. That's, like, I feel like you learn that somewhere along the line and then totally forget it with all of the, like, media noise.
Yeah. And it's a simple thing because remember, it's like people are like, eat your veggies. Veggies have fiber and antioxidants. That shit will fix everything, basically.
Right.
Nobody wants an easy answer.
No.
No, but it's just a good reminder. I mean, especially with all the shit out there, it's good to, like, have a real live human that knows what you're talking about, that's creating really beautiful content about it in, like, a really real way. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you have another question?
I don't think so. I can't wait to make some of your recipes.
I will say the only other thing, it's not that it's same old noise. I know people always criticize dietitians as saying like, oh, you know, everything in moderation. That's mm-hmm. not necessarily true. But I think it's just having a level head and knowing when to call bullshit.
Right.
There's new stuff out there, like things that have become popular that I really like. Adaptogens, fascinating.
What's that?
That's like the maca that you've talked about before, the ashwagandha. There are some plant-based things. I mean, there are things existing in nature that can be used from a medical nutrition standpoint that fascinate me.
Well, so here's a question then, like, how do you as a consumer, how do I as a consumer, you're a professional, so it's different, like, weed through the bullshit of these research studies?
Find a resource you can trust who will translate it for you.
Okay.
The studies are too confusing, and I think the problem is the media pulls the headline they want from the study, knowing that the consumer can't do it themselves, and they misinterpret it in a clickbait kind of way.
Right.
Find somebody who's translating it well, who translates it in a trustworthy, not noisy way.
Right.
And that's hard. And I think that's...
Is that like a journal or like a...
It could be a journal. It could be a media outlet. Like I would say a lot of just... It depends on the kind of voice you're looking for.
Okay.
Like Washington Post is not going to put out something ridiculous. They did at one point have somebody who was a writer that spun things a certain way in the health world.
Gotcha.
That was not trustworthy. But... It's finding the people, and I guess that's a good part of social media. Find people who are doing it and who do a good job of it, like that person we were talking about, the neurologist.
Dr. Rhonda Patrick, yeah, she's great.
People
it's hard to understand her at first, but then,
find people who can take the science and put it in non-bullshit form. It just takes looking for those people.
Yeah.
And supporting them, because that's the other thing. The sexy thing is to find people who are, like, skewing it pioneers, in a super crazy way.
Yeah.
So support the people who are talking about the science, I guess.
I dig it. Well, cool. This is, like, so super interesting. I do think we're going to need, like, a 2.0 because we're going to get so many questions this. Again, you can find Carlene and her head, which, Chris Thomas?
Yep.
Okay. Their work on, it's at Healthfully Ever After on Instagram and also healthfullyeverafter.co. So much cool content on there. Just so much fun. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And as always, guys, if you loved this episode, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.